Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. The difficult part of my shoulder is Sunday mornings. And, you know, the reason is because I clap. And I'm not supposed to. And it's like that. Oh, it's like, and so, but I can't help myself. And you know, if I shake hands with people, which is really pretty much okay now, but it's like I love doing all that, and I can't stop myself. And then later, it's like, oh, this hurts. Hey, I want to pray, Katrine. I was so blessed to be here yesterday, just in the back listening to the one speaker that you had yesterday. Her name was Bethany Figg. Happens to be my daughter, but you know, that wasn't why I was here. But the training for the Royal Family Kids Camp, the camp for children in the foster care system, was really good, just really solid. I just felt so good about all the people sitting up here. And I thought about all the time that takes. That's like 5 days out of everyone's life plus the training. And I thought about Kat and Kyle Weiniger, because they've got how many kids? Three kids, and they're going to go, both of them are going to go for the whole week, so the grandparents are going to be involved in that one. And it's like the sacrifices people were making, but I just knew, because of last year, the blessings that they were going to get in return. And I just felt the Lord saying to me, he said, don't be afraid of asking people to sacrifice. Don't be afraid of putting that out there, like encouraging someone to be a part of Royal Family Kids, or encouraging someone to tithe, or encouraging someone to give in ways that, you know, it right up front would be like, ooh, don't do that because people aren't going to like that. It's like, no, but the blessings that come in return, don't hold blessings back from people, Tom, right? And so I just know that all those people who are sitting there, you know, in that training, are going to get so blessed. They're going to see children that's just connecting to God and connecting to them. They're going to see transforming things taking place in that week. And it's going to be, wow, now I'm jealous. You know, and it's like, so I want to pray for Royal Family Kids, okay? Let's do that. Jesus, thank you for what you're doing, that you love the children. We know that. Your word says that it'd be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into a lake than to cause a little one to stumble. So we know what your heart is for those who pick them up. So Lord, I thank you for what you've brought to us here as a church to be able to invest in, donate toward. I know some sacrificial giving has gone into this, and then those from our church and the other churches that are involved, and the people from those places, God, thank you for them. Bless them. Bless them. Take care of all the things at home while they give this time to these children. And Lord, bless these children. Bless these children who have been through trauma, have been through difficulty, have been through, and many still are. And so we just pray, God, your blessing, that they will discover that they are children of a family and that their family is royalty, and so are they. We pray your blessing over this camp in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, good stuff here, folks. So if any way that you can, is there any way, Katrine, that people can continue to support the camp that's starting June, 26th. Yeah, any other ways we can do to support that? Prayer? All right, well, we can do that. We do need that. Amen. Holy Spirit, what is it about? What's the Holy Spirit about? 2 weeks ago on Pentecost, I talked about the Holy Spirit, but I'm not done because I had to shuffle a lot of my notes aside as I was going through, saying I don't have time for this. And so, hey, we're coming back to it because here's another reason. You know, Paul said that when he came to Corinth, he said, I didn't come to you, in 1 Corinthians, he said, I didn't come to you with wise and persuasive words. Why not? He was wise. He was persuasive. He had the truth. But in Corinth, that's Greece. And in Greece, in those days, that's all people wanted. They wanted to listen to wise and persuasive words. They wanted to debate. They wanted to philosophize. They wanted to hear, oh, what's the latest thing that someone has? And Paul says, I didn't come to you with that. But instead, I came with a demonstration of the power of God. Dear ones, I feel very strongly about this, that culturally, we're moving into a place where wise and persuasive words will become less and less effective. So then what do? We turn to what Paul turned to, and we embrace that there is this reality, which is God, the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, in us, in amongst us, demonstrating the power of God and the kingdom to come. And that God will call on us more and more as we go along, and as our wise and persuasive words just keep hitting the wall and dropping, he will call on us to demonstrate who he is with absolute authority. Only God, only God, only God can do this. Now, Paul went on to say, because I don't want your faith to rest on wise and persuasive words. I don't want your faith to rest on human effort. I don't want your faith to rest on those things. I want your faith to rest on, like, I believe because I've experienced and I've seen and I've felt and I've been a part of the expression of God through his power. So we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the Holy Spirit for the next, well, today and the next 2 weeks. Looking at the different dimensions of that, because it's far too much for one Sunday to cover. Well, it's far too much for 3 weeks to cover. We really need to be teaching on the Holy Spirit, even outside of Sunday morning, on a regular basis, so that we can all continually keep growing in our understanding of what that is and how it works, and discovering how to release that into the world. And I'm still trying to figure that out. But let's go. Let's look at some things here. I want to remind us of where we were at last week. We had followed Ascension Sunday, where Jesus ascended. But before he did, he said to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, he said, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the Father, which he promised, which you have heard me talk to you about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So what Jesus is saying is, don't start being the church until you've got the power. Don't do it. Don't go out there and try to be church without the power of God, the gift of God that I told you about when I said that John baptized you with water, and that was awesome, but God is going to baptize you. Imagine that, being baptized in a tub of the Holy Spirit and being dipped in it. Right? whoa, this is cool. But that's what he said. He used the word baptize. He used the word immersion. He used the word for immersion. He's like I'm going to stick you into the Holy Spirit. Not like we say the Holy Spirit comes into us, but Jesus said, I'm going to put you into it. I'm going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And it's like, wow. And so I thought, what is that like? And I think it's like turning, going in as a cucumber and coming out as a pickle. I mean, maybe not the best image, but you know, it's like getting pickled in the Holy Spirit. Like, I've always wondered, haven't you wondered, how does a cucumber get all that all the way through? Like, you just stick it in a jar, like, right? And all the way through. Somebody knows how that happens, and they say, that's simple, Tom. It's like this. Okay, that's great. But I just am amazed by that. But I'm amazed also when a Christian, says, Holy Spirit, come. And you do that long enough that there's some Christians that are kind of pickled in the Holy Spirit. I don't mean sour people. I don't mean that. I mean like, oh yeah, we know who they are. No, I mean, Betty. I mean people who just seem to just like ooze the Holy Spirit. That just they have Kelsey was talking about, the aroma of Christ, right? The aroma of Christ. And it's just like, wow, this is cool. I'll tell you what. This last week, we've been working really hard. Stephen Snook has been working really hard with us to get a young lady out of the tent city that she's living in. Tent city. There's a reason people go to tent city. They live in tents. There are several in Peoria. And this particular one, God, by the Holy Spirit, directed Stephen to. And then God, by the Holy Spirit, directed him to this young lady. And we're trying to get her out of there. And, it was so amazing. It was like, he was going to go get her. She said she was ready to go. And and all sorts of crazy things happen. I mean, it's a dangerous place to be. There's like needles on the ground. You can't, you know, you got to be careful not to step on them because everybody's doing heroin or meth, and it's squalor. It's hard. But Stephen was going in there by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to grab this lady and get her out of there. And a guy pulls a gun on him, says, "I'm going to blow your head off." And he goes, "Oh well, what are we going to do with that?" and he said, "I'm just a Christian trying to help." The guy backed down. It was just like there's all this stuff taking place. I can't even go into it all. But it was really awesome because we needed a lady to go with Stephen to go get this girl. And I said to Stephen, "Well, how are we going to do that? We need her by 4 o'clock." And I thought, I have an appointment with Wanda Kinzinger at 4 o'clock. I'll just call Wanda and say it's going to be a different kind of appointment, Wanda. It's not like one. You know, we're not going to be sitting in the office talking. And she said, "Okay," and she went. And my goodness, man, I just like the Holy Spirit was in all of this. She went. They went, they got her out. Wanda actually took her to her home. Somebody who's high on heroin is just, it's awful. It's awful to see, it's awful to be around, it's awful to, and Wanda just took her in. Wanda's mom came and they helped and they got her and they got her to the place that to Methodist and the interview and all this kind of stuff. Did everything that we could. Didn't get her out though. They didn't have a bed open in the detox place that we had hoped on. So we're waiting till Monday. So I'm gonna stop and pray for her for a minute, okay? Jesus, we pray for Tyler this morning and ask you to bless her and just keep her going, Lord. We just put your hands around her, God, and your arms around her and hold on to her till we can get her to a safe place. And a detox bed and a rehab that will start her life over again, Jesus. We pray this in your precious name. Amen. My point was, coming back to being baptized in the Holy Spirit, that Wanda was just walking in the Holy Spirit, and anything that God put before her, she said, "Okay, okay, okay." And I'm like, wow, this is awesome, right? And Stephen is just saying, "Okay, God, okay, God, okay, God." And we're just walking. The same thing's going to happen, Katrine, with Royal Family Kids. Everybody said okay to that. They said yes. And they're going to go there, and they're going to have some problems and difficulties, but they're just going to say, "Okay, Holy Spirit, just keep me going, just keep me going." And this gift that God has given us, you guys, is so important. It's so incredible. It's so multidimensional. The gift of the Holy Spirit, please don't write that off. Please don't write that off as, "Oh, yeah, that's what those crazy people do. You know, like, I'm not into that. Can't we just talk about this?" And it's like, no, Jesus didn't say it that way. Jesus said, "Don't do church until you've got the power." We've got to pay attention to that. Moses said, "Don't send us up into the promised land unless you go with us, because if your presence doesn't go with us, I'm not going." The presence and the glory of God have to come with us. Otherwise, how will anybody know that we're different from the other nations of the world? That's the same thing true today. How will anyone out there ever think that there's anything special about us, or that we have anything that we have to say, or that the gospel that we preach is even true? We're just one more opinion now. Unless we have the gift of God and the power of the Holy Spirit moving through us and with us and in us to demonstrate that there's more to it than just human philosophy. We're not asking people to have a relationship with a philosophy. We're not asking people to have a relationship with information. We're not asking people to just sign up to saying, "Yeah, I think those things." We're asking people to open their hearts to a relationship with a divine being who is real and powerful and beautiful and wonderful. And we're just saying, can you trust your heart to this man? And receive the Spirit, the gift that he has to transform your life. Watch what happens. This is what it's about, you guys. This is the only thing that's going to reach people as we go forward. If you do a trajectory of human culture and where we're headed, folks, this is going to become more and more important. We're almost making a curve around to the early church. And the situation sociologically in the early church is looking a lot like what we're seeing now. And it's like, so, you know, what they needed then, what God knew they needed to be successful then is going to be something that is also needed for us as we go forward. So Jesus returns. Hallelujah. So that's what we want to look at and we want to focus on. And Jesus said, don't go, don't leave home without it, for those of you who remember that. Genesis 1:1-2 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the water, and the Spirit of God in Genesis 1 was hovering over the waters. And so we have this picture from Genesis 1. So the Spirit is in Genesis 1. The Spirit is in Revelation 21. It's all the way through. First chapter, last chapter of the Bible, and everything in between. The Spirit is there, and it starts with hovering. So the Spirit, if you look at Barb here, and you keep sitting up front. You know that this is happening. You know, it's going to happen. You look at Barb here and you think, okay, so what's going on with Barb's life? I don't know, but can you see like the Spirit hovering, right? And it's like, okay, if I ever feel, listen, to, folks, if I ever feel like there's just something empty, an emptiness, and I'm gonna talk about loss. That I've lost something. It doesn't have to be a spouse. It could be a church home, right? It could be a dream. It could be part of your health that you thought you would always have, but now you don't. But there's a Spirit hovering over that. There's a Spirit hovering over that. And what happened when the Spirit hovered over the waters in Genesis 1:1? What came forth? New things, beautiful things. Creation came forth. The Spirit hovering over the water drew things up. I'm going to pray for you, okay? All right. Holy Spirit, I just want you to hover over Barb right now and let something new come forth. Something she never thought about, something she's never had perhaps before, an idea. A thought, a dream, or maybe something that she feels she's lost. Come, Holy Spirit, right now. Hover over Barb and call forth creative miracle and gift and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You feel anything? You got shivers? Okay. Praise God. I was praying for a guy from the food pantry, and I took him home and dropped him off, and he prayed to rededicate his life to Jesus. Isn't that great? You go to get food, and you get Jesus. And that's what he said. Actually, right, I'm the living bread. You know, I agree. Okay, so the bread of heaven. And so I dropped him off, and I prayed with him again, and I asked him, when I got done praying with him, he goes, what is this? And he got goosebumps all up and down his arms. He goes, what is this? What'd you do to me? What is this? I said, that's God. That's God, man. And he's, oh, man, this is awesome. And he says, give me a hug. Big old hug. And I'm going away, and he goes, man, you are the real deal. And I said, no, Corey, Jesus is the real deal. I'm just here to bring him to you. He's the one that touched you just now. That's what it's all about, right? Come on. I'm going to hear what, you know, as if God really does show, you know, wherever we go from this, I want to hear how God touched you and blessed you. And so Moses, in Numbers 11:17, the Lord said to Moses, because he couldn't handle all of the responsibilities that he had, and so the Lord says, I will come down and speak with you, and I will take some of the Spirit that's on you and put that Spirit on them, and they will help you bear the burden of the people so that you do not have to bear it by yourself. And what God's saying here to Moses is saying, the Spirit is transferable. The Spirit is transferable. So we take it, and he could take it off of Moses and put it on other people. And so now, it's like, wouldn't you love the Spirit of Moses? To go through life with the wisdom that Moses had, the wisdom to see the thing. Who wouldn't want the Spirit of Moses? Folks, we've got something better than that. We've got the Spirit of Jesus. And it's like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wouldn't you, I don't even have to say, wouldn't you want that? You have it. Let's get it going. Let's stir it up. So Michael, I want to pray for whatever's in me to be transferred over to you. Can you, will you handle that?
Yes.
Yeah? Okay. Yes. Say, no, Tom, I don't want that. what's in you, I do not want. Father God, I just pray that, like you said, it's transferable, so we transfer. Everything that you've given me, Lord, what you've shown me, what you've revealed to me, the gift of the Spirit that's in me, all of that, I release that into Michael. And I say, God, touch him and fill him. Everything you've given me, give to him right now. To your glory and in the name of Jesus. Amen. You notice when you take a candle and you light another candle, that the flame goes down to half? Have you ever noticed that? The flame goes to half, and there's just two halves. Is that what happens? What happens when you light one candle from another? Does it go half? Huh?
It's fully lit.
It's fully lit. So you can light 1,000 candles off of one, and that flame will still be that same size that it was in the beginning. Right? We don't lose from giving the Spirit out. We don't lose from releasing the Spirit. We multiply it. We multiply it. So pray over each other, and not right now, but release that Spirit into each other's lives. Last week, we talked about the holy, holy, holy of 1 Kings 8, 10. When the priest came out out of the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord so that the priests could not stand there to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and the presence, the weightiness of the presence of God. We want that, you guys. We want that. It's not always running around and being happy and being joyful. There's a weightiness to God's presence. And we want to feel that, don't we? I want to feel that. I want to feel that weightiness, like, oh, God, you're so holy. That's it, right? You're so holy. Holy, holy. Oh, my gosh, you guys. We've got so much controversy over what's sinful and what isn't. I'll tell you what. When a holy God walks into the room, we will fall on our faces and say, oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry. It's not going to be like debating this. It's going to be like we see holiness and we will know that that's not in us. And how much we've given over to something other than that. And we'll be like, so what I hope that Jesus' body here on earth will be a place where that holiness can be present, where that holiness can be manifest, right? Either through worship or a moment or something, so that we don't have to wait until we see the holiness of God and realize how far off we are. But we can, on a regular basis, encounter that holiness and go, God, I just feel like, man, this thing that I've been entertaining in my mind is wrong. Get it out. I repent. Repentance. What happened to repentance? Did we forget about that? Somehow when we stop talking about the Holy Spirit, we also stop talking about repentance. And and guess who was behind that? Okay, so we have then in 2 Peter 1:21, he says, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1:21. Prophecy never had its origin in human will. But prophets, even though they were human beings, like all of us sitting in this room, spoke from God. The words of the prophets are from God. Because they were being carried along by the Holy Spirit. And we talked a couple weeks ago about, Barb, the word that you got for us, for our days of dedication and what God wants of us as a church, and it has to do with something new. Look, I'm doing something new. Do you not perceive it? Do you not behold it? Betty Good, God said, open the doors and let me come in. Knowing that if Jesus comes into your church, he's going to tell you what you're doing good, and he's going to tell you what you're not doing so good. And we've got to listen to both, right? And it's like, okay, God, come on. Tell me what's happening here. But this is very important. What Peter has established here in 2 Peter 1:21, or what the scripture has established, is that prophecy is from God. By men, though they were human, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and we'll return to that later. And then we looked at Mary, who the Holy Spirit came on, and she said, how could this possibly happen that I will be the mother of the Lord? And the angel said, nothing's impossible with God, but the Holy Spirit, listen to what he said, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So we see the Holy Spirit bringing things out in us that were thought to be impossible, like, how could I possibly do that? How could I ever, you know, you hear of people who are gifted, right? Spiritually gifted, right? It's like, well, that would never be me. I'm not like that. Yes, you are. Who was Mary? She said, I'm just a lowly servant. But when the Holy Spirit comes, nothing's impossible with God. When the Holy Spirit comes, it's not you anymore. It's God. And we can't put limitations on God because the vessel's an earthen jar, right? But we have this treasure poured into this jar, and who knows, listen everyone, who knows what God could do through Tyler or Nolan or Caleb? Who knows? There's limitless potential and possibility in every single one of us because God's limitless. He's the one that's in us. It's not us that's doing it. We stand back and we just say, God, do what you want to do through me, which is what Mary did. And then Mary goes along and Elizabeth shouts out, the mother of my Lord has come to see me. I said she had an fetus in her. I think it was an embryo because I got my weeks off. But, you know, she was barely pregnant. She was newly pregnant, barely pregnant. And Elizabeth says, it's the mother of my Lord. That embryo is her Lord? Absolutely. Everything that Jesus was in that embryo from conception. Wow. And then she says, the baby in my womb jumped up and down when you approached and said something to me. But the baby started jumping. Well, the baby was John the Baptist. Elizabeth is John the Baptist's mom, right? And the baby is 6 months old in the womb, and he starts jumping up. How does the baby know? Come on, it's like, this is crazy stuff, right? This is God, you guys. This is God. This is the level that we have to live at. We have to live at a higher level than what the world is living. We've got to live at a higher level that says anything's possible with God. Elizabeth recognizes this was a baby, even though it's still an embryo. John the Baptist, the six-month-old in the womb, is jumping up and down because the Lord is there. Welcome to a crazy world, but it's the world that our world needs to see. It's the world we need to live in and operate out of and acknowledge. This stuff happens. Is this fairy tale? Are these stories? No. Is this the word of God? Okay, then let's act like it. Oh, I love you guys. Oh, my goodness. So now in Luke, he's talking about Jesus coming on the scene. And what does he say? When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven opened up. And guess who showed up? The Holy Spirit. He's not going to miss this party. Jesus is being baptized. The Holy Spirit shows up. Heaven's opened. Rip. The Holy Spirit descends on him in a bodily form like a dove. That's where we get the dove symbolism of the Holy Spirit, right? And a voice came from heaven, you're my son. I love you. And you cause my heart delight. Well, we read it a little more holy than that, right? Thou art my beloved son. That's what the voice said. Thou art my beloved. But you know what, you guys? Aren't we kind of taking something away from the Father? Jesus, you're my son. I love you. And you bring my heart delight. So see, listen to this. Father speaking, Holy Spirit coming down, Son receiving it. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, take a picture. Take a picture of that in your mind. Take a picture of that because that's the Trinity. Okay? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Wow. All of them all there together at the same time. What a deal. Oh, there it is. Okay. And then Luke says in Luke 4:1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't that good to know that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit? It's like, well, wait a minute, he's God. He's a... Okay, yeah. But he left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Being led. Jesus is being led. So then in 4:14, Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Do you see how the Spirit is a part of all the things that are happening with Jesus? All right? Jesus, he's there in the baptism. He's there leading him into the wilderness. He's there leading him back to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the good news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. And then he goes to the Spirit, leads him to the synagogue. He goes to the synagogue. He picks out the script, the scroll, and he says, Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Notice how it starts? The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, returned it to the attendant, and sat down, and the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began by saying, that day, listen, the day that the Holy Spirit carried the prophet Isaiah along and spoke through him about a day that's going to happen in the future, and a person is going to come who will fulfill what I've written. The day that the Spirit told Isaiah was going to happen is happening right now, and I'm the one that the Spirit talked about when he talked to Isaiah, and Isaiah wrote this. And so the Spirit is all in this, isn't he? And the Spirit is saying through Jesus, he's saying, it's right now. It's right now. It's right now. Now, wait a minute. Listen to that. What God's doing is right now. Right now. In this room. Right now. And the people sat there in the synagogue saying, wait, now? Now? Is it happening now? And Jesus is going like, what do you say?
It's right now.
It's right now.
I mean, seriously right now.
Yeah, seriously right now. Yeah. Huh? It's right now. This is how God works, you guys. This is how God works. It's right now. Brian, it's right now. The Holy Spirit is here right now. The day that was told is upon us. Kirsten, it's right now. Holy Spirit's here. The Holy Spirit's here. He's that close, you guys, always. He's that close. He's right here. He's right here. He's right here right now. And Jesus recognized that in Luke chapter 10. He sent the disciples out, and they went out, and they told the demons to leave, and they healed people, and they proclaimed the kingdom of God. And when they came back, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, began jumping up and down. It's a very much jumping joy. Because why? Because listen to this. I praise you, Father, Lord. I didn't do this 2 weeks ago, so listen. Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden things from wise and learned people and revealed them to little children. That's what got him going. He's saying, listen to this. This is so important. It's not the people who are recognized as so wise and who have spent years and years and years in learning that finally somehow get the Holy Spirit. It's not something you know yourself to. He's saying, and Jesus is filled by the Spirit with very much jumping joy because he's saying, these aren't the Pharisees and the Sadducees. It's not the Sanhedrin. It's fishermen. It's Tom Eckhart and Michael Good and it's Melissa. It's like it's us. It's us. We God isn't putting us on a track where we have to earn and learn and earn and learn and earn and learn, right? I got my seminary degree. It took me 3 years to get it after I went to college, so I should have the Holy Spirit, right? brothers and sisters, there is no way that that leads to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's right here in this room for anybody who wants it. Hunter, how old are you? 13? Holy Spirit's here for you, man. I'm going to pray for you, okay? All right. Lord, I know, Hunter's just sitting here going like, okay, what's he doing? But you know what? Holy Spirit, you're just so good that you picked him out. And you said, go pray for him. So Holy Spirit, would you come and do what you intended to do when you caused him to come into my view? So Holy Spirit, just come. You're in the room. And you said that you don't have to earn it or learn it. You just have to be willing to receive it. So in Jesus' name, be filled with the Spirit, Hunter. Amen. That's what got Jesus so excited, you guys. It's just here and it's real and it's for us. And you know, in John, he goes on to say about the Holy Spirit, what it's going to be for us. And if you want to stand up like Vicky is and sing, you can. Just feel free to do that, but I'm going to keep preaching. So it's like he said, when the Spirit comes, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, right? Come, Holy Spirit, where so many of our dearly loved people are going astray, and they're going to go astray into things that are hurtful and destructive because we have lost the Holy Spirit's ability to convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And it was like, come, Holy Spirit. And when he comes, he says he's the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is yet to come. This is John. John focuses on the Holy Spirit differently than Luke. Luke's all about the power. John is all about what the internal transformation is that he's doing. He's leading you. He's guiding you. He's making you more like Jesus. Who wants to be more like Jesus? Are you sure? Well, then, receive the Holy Spirit right now. Right now, Holy Spirit, come into the room. Come into the hearts that just raised their hands, and even if they didn't, their heart still was saying yes. We want to be more like you. We want to see the love and the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the gentleness, the goodness, faithfulness, and self-control that the fruit, the result of the Holy Spirit in us is supposed to bring. God, make us more like you. Would you please make us more like you? God, come. God, come and do your work in me. Just say that right now. Just, God, come do your work in me. Holy Spirit, come do your transformation work in me, your holiness work in me, your power within me, making me different from who I was and how I am. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, and do that work in us.